All right, here we go. We're doing another one. 29th of January, a beautifully frozen, clear Monday morning. Everything starts on a Monday. What's wrong? Oh, I'm twisted up here.
A little tight. There you go. All
right. My name's Jason. To the right of me is Ashley.
Ciao, ciao.
We run, own, operate La Tavola Marque, a little agriturismo in the frozen foothills of Piobico. Doesn't that make it sound dramatic?
Yes.
Lots going on in the last couple of weeks. I don't know. It hasn't been long since we did a podcast, but we're getting back to it. The party time is over.
Fun time is over. Party time is over.
It's
back to work.
Back to work. We're kind of a month late, to be quite honest. My goal was to get my ass in gear right after Christmas.
Well, the first guests are mid-May, so...
That time will fly by.
That's what I mean.
And we should already have been going.
Wah, 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 wah. And we should be today, but instead we fired up the mics to do a podcast.
We have a bunch of shit to do.
There's so much going on this week that's why we thought, you know what, let's do a little teaser podcast of what's to come, because we got a lot going on.
We woke up Monday morning. Everything starts on a Monday, so we're going to eat right this week. We're going to stop eating candies and all the leftover crap from Christmas.
Like your cinnamon rolls made with lard, which were so good, by the way. We were talking
We did talk about this. Mm-hmm. Okay, I found a cinnamon roll recipe from the 50s some like church cinnamon roll thing, and it used lard.
It called for Crisco or something, right?
It just said lard.
Oh,
shortening. It just said shortening.
Even better. Okay. I love it.
And while it was a not ridiculous amount of shortening in these, but it's like, that's a lot of shortening for bread. We're just making like...
For like six cinnamon rolls.
Well, we made them big. They should have been a dozen. Those were big cinnamon rolls. Anyway, so no more of that. That's not how we're going forward, right?
No.
That's not how we're doing it. That's not how we're doing it anymore. No
more cinnamon rolls. Are we going keto again?
No.
Okay.
No one cares about this. All right. Lots going on around here. Everything's happening.
It's all happening. It's all happening.
In the last week, we got a tractor delivered. We set up the pigs' final days are now countdown where it's... I think today's 6 days and counting for the pigs until we have to slaughter them, which we'll talk about here in a minute. I'm not very excited. I kind of drug my feet. This should already be done as well.
I've been going to banks and insurance offices looking for in case of emergency insurance / life insurance and some retirement funds. We got, now that we're getting older, starting to think about that. So I've been running around, and then also Jason's got a driving test coming up.
That's
so
right.
It's all happening. Let's jump into it.
So I have to get my driver's license, my Italian driver's license. I've had to get it for 10 years.
Talking to our buddy last night, and Jason was mentioning this and saying how he's been using this old license driving around.
I had an American license.
Of course.
And it lasted 10 years. And I think I got it renewed right before we came.
Yes.
So that...
But that meant this picture of with an expired license, you're like in your early 20s, and now you're turning... You just turned 45 today.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. And, I was saying it's almost like a reverse fake ID. I swear I'm this much younger person.
Anyway, everything's done electronically now. When Ashley did it, it was all take these forms to like these two forms to the post office to pay these two fees, and these two forms to the bank and pay these two.
Because then you bring back the receipts.
Bring back the receipts and blah 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 blah. Now it's all electronic, so I just go to the tobacco shop and pay where you would pay for like your car, the road tax or anything like that, and pay these three or four different small fees. It's a racket. Everyone's got their hand. Okay, this is you can do it on your own. You don't have to go through a driver school if you want. But the bureaucracy is so complicated that it's just like I don't have
just
time.
Let them take care
just
of it.
Just let them take care of it. So
it can be a hefty fee. When I did it, it was like $750.
Yeah, it's probably more now.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
No.
I'm still with all the 50 euros.
Oh, you already paid then.
Yeah.
Hold on. Gaji's calling.
All right. That was the Gotchester calling me to wish me a happy birthday. Very nice.
And check the weather.
I forgot totally where we were.
We were talking about the driving test.
Oh, so now everything's electronic. So I didn't, I obviously knew that you paid electronically. You didn't have to go to the two places, but I still came back the next day into
the
driving school.
He diligently shows up.
With my receipts held high.
Ta-da!
I've got my receipts for what I pay. They, all the three people who work in there look at me like, okay, Billy, what? Like,
oh, great. Congratulations. Congrats.
And then the guy starts laughing. He goes, no, we don't, you don't have to do it anymore. We get a, you know, message, we get an email or something. I'm like, oh, so this is.
It's all automatic.
It's all automatic.
Things have changed
now.
Since I took it 15 years ago or 10 plus years ago.
So, Wednesday is my practical test, or my, sorry, theory, say that for me.
The theory. Theoretical?
Theoretical, thank you.
So explain to them a bit of how you've been studying. So you've been studying for 15 years. On and off.
On and off for 15 years.
No, when I took it, listen, it is difficult. And they do tricky language to try to mess with your brain and confuse you.
It used to be 40 questions and you could miss a maximum of four.
Correct.
Now it's 30 questions and you can miss a maximum of three. So
and it's
you have to score a 90% or better.
Yes. The first time I took it, I missed. Oh my God. I got done early. I felt good. And I thought the guy said, go back and review your questions if you're done early. So I go back and review my questions and I question myself, change two answers. And then I get, them wrong and I fail. So there's that. But, when I did it, all I had was the little guidebook.
Yes.
And then there was this gigantic, like, textbook of tests.
Sample tests. Yeah.
Of hundreds of sample tests.
Well, now it's all online.
Exactly. So you're able to do it.
There's apps and there's sites. And.
But for anyone who is just moving to Italy or planning to, what you've also found super helpful is some of the videos.
Some of the videos are better because they explain, like,
obviously the tests in Italian.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not that hard. Like, idiot kids pass it every day. So it's just a question of, it's the most boring subject matter. I don't care about it. I feel entitled to be able to drive around with a fake license for some reason.
Okay. I got to tell a couple stories here though that are so funny because one, at least when I was doing it, and I don't remember you mentioning it at all either. There's questions on there about like the categories of driver's licenses and like the weights of different cars. There's weird questions outside in a way of what we're even doing.
There's more questions.
Or what type of car you're even driving.
There's more questions about like things that are outside the your vehicle's category.
Exactly.
For like different truck things. And
it's weird. Then there's also questions that have to do with insurance and like if there's an accident on the road, like weird stuff that in a way you wouldn't really think would be on the driving test. It's more like, can you take a right at this intersection with these arrows or whatever? So they go into a lot of detail about some of that stuff. Never once is it asked what the blood alcohol level is.
No, there's lots of questions about drinking and driving. And
but none about
what the actual percentage of alcohol you can have in your blood.
Correct. No. When
I don't know what it is.
That's what I mean. You've been studying for 15 years and never once have you come across that question.
No.
That's not on the test. But what was hilarious, at least when I did it, because of this little like pamphlet booklet they give you of like a study guide. Like I said, no questions about drug alcohol or blood alcohol drinking. The things they said, the top three things to watch out for when driving that could cause you to be distracted is one, the obvious, bouncing ball, little kid playing, done.
The kid is done?
Yeah. The next two are the most Italian thing I have ever seen. Second greatest risk when you're driving is if you've eaten too much and you're tired. And it showed a big, like, a cartoon drawing of, like, a big fat guy with a huge plate of pasta and, like, a bib, you know? And, like, that you get sleepy behind the wheel if you've eaten too much. Again, no talk of alcohol. And then number three, greatest risk, which could be really number one. There was a cartoon drawing. Big-breasted women.
That's right.
It was boobies.
Boobies are distracting. No, I haven't seen the booby one. The the question with the eating too much is definitely on there. Yep. I've seen that a couple times.
But again, no alcohol. It's just interesting.
You want to know the exact amount you can get, you can drink before you're
intoxicated? Well, I think it's an interesting statement also on the society. Like, it's just part of life. Like, you would have a glass of wine with your meal. You see, you could buy booze and beer to go at the freaking auto grill, which is only accessible by the Autostrada. The expressway. It comes with the
exact amount. They just say in a state of
drunkenness. Yeah. Well,
I think it depends on if you could carry your booze or not.
I guess so. It's just interesting. So you're finally scheduled. He still doesn't know the details, though. Oh, wait. You had to do an eye test.
Oh, yeah. So everyone's got their hands out. So there's two doctors you have to go to get certificates of health. One that you're not crazy, and the other one that does an eye test, and then there's like 30 questions, and he looks at me and just goes, "Is there anything wrong with you?" I go, "No," and he just puts a big line down the nose. Each one of those have their handout for something, and then I went and
like $60.
Yeah,
$70.
No, it was €50 for each one of those health certificates. Then I had to go to the tobacco shop and pay four different fees. I don't know where they go.
Wait, didn't one of the doctors have a different price actually than what was on the receipt?
Yes.
Wait, why don't you mention that?
I forgot about that. So he writes down 20, he gives me a receipt. It's just I go to the driving school, and then in another spare room is this guy.
They have it set up.
Set up. He writes me a receipt, like one of those out of those little receipt pad things, nothing really fancy, that says €25. And I go to give him money. He goes, no, go back into the office and pay then. Go back into the office, hand the lady my thing, and she goes, €50, please. I don't even ask anymore. I just hand over money. Like, I know this is a racket. Somehow, whatever. I'm not going to say why. Does it say 25? And you?
Well, probably for the processing.
I don't know. I don't know. So it's just funny.
When I did it, we had to go to the doctor, like your personal doctor to get like a.
I still do.
Oh.
Yeah, I still do. They just changed the order of which you do it.
Oh, okay.
So now I still need another health certificate. It's just that I wait until I pass the exam and then before I take the
practical,
I have to have another one.
Okay.
So it's just everyone's got, it's nickel and dime to death. All in all, it's probably going to be close to $1,000 because it's 700 and something just for the driving school, and then all this ancillary stuff doesn't count. But I'm not going to go figure out how to navigate Italian bureaucracy to save a couple bucks. Not happening.
So to celebrate Jason getting his driver's license.
I haven't gotten anything yet. The test is Wednesday and I'm sweating it.
You said that this was to celebrate you getting your driver's license. You bought a tractor.
I've been looking for a tractor for...
Listen, long-time listeners know.
Long-time listeners for a while. It's hard to find.
We have the big boy Zetor that we got from Fushiani.
It's huge. It's too big to do. It's just too big for my needs. It's nice to have a giant tractor.
And that was, in all honesty, basically like a gift from.
Well, it has no, like with everything with
him. We didn't pay for it. We paid to get it kind of fixed up
a little bit. It doesn't
really work.
It works. It's just that he has no documentation for it. So he can't sell it. He can't drive it on the roads. It's just sitting there. He's like, if you want to use it,
use it. It's some stolen tractor from the early 80s.
Who the hell knows?
Who knows?
There is no documentation
whatsoever.
Came
off the back of a truck somewhere, that's for sure.
I don't ask questions.
Oh, God, what if this was how someone paid for their meat and cheese?
Ashley... We've told this story before. We show up one day at Fushiani's and he's just got like an Enotech of like thousands of bottles of wine just spread all over.
Which
everywhere is
shocking because he sells solely like cured meats and cheeses. And then
he has a few bottles of wine usually, but nothing.
And he said someone owed him a...
He goes, someone owed him a bunch of money and they couldn't pay and they had to close the shop and he took all their wine.
Uh-huh.
So
his payment.
He also had a scooter, like a big scooter. a bigger scooter, like not a little Vespa one day. It was like a big one where you could take it on the autostrada. Someone couldn't pay. So this could have been something like that. It's got no documentation. It'll never be legal to drive on the road.
It, as everyone, as every mechanic has told us, it was born without brakes.
Born without brakes. So while it's good for, you know,
tractor rides with children.
Exactly. It's not really for working. So finally, after all this time, I find a tractor 2 hours south of us. It's a smaller size. It's got the front bin, the front bucket thing that I've always wanted. Blah, 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 blah. Go down there and see it. It's great. It's from 2000. It's got only 1,400 hours on it. One owner kept in a garage or kept in a barn or something because the paint's all perfect. Like, it's pretty clean. It's pretty nice. Great. I'll take it.
Now, most of the time, these tractors are super expensive.
And
why we've been taking so long is incredibly hard to find.
They're hard to find because I can buy a tractor twice the size of this tractor for the same price because there's just – that's the size of tractor that's most commonly found in this area, whereas this smaller one is not – easy to find mm-hmm. at all. I've been looking.
Well, we found one over the fall when Jerball was here. And that one, though, was 24 grand. It had all the bells and whistles of the implements.
So it was more expensive than this one, but we're done. I don't have to buy anything.
However, it was a guy. And he wanted straight cash.
Yeah, he wanted cash. And it's like, dude,
we got to pull to. Because the way that the banks are controlled now, you can't pull out 24 grand to
There's going to be a lot of questions. And plus, then we can't. This has to be part of registered through the business. So
for taxes and all of that.
There's
so,
no paper trail, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it was like, oh my God, this is great. Hilariously on the side of the freaking autostrada.
Well, that's just where.
I know, but it just felt like this is all so perfect. But so we had to let that one go. And we thought, oh no, we're not going to find this again. And then, yeah, this one just has the dumper, but in excellent condition.
And
half that price.
You don't get a chance to go see it and then bring a mechanic back or someone to give it a check out because this thing won't be there in 2 weeks. There are just not a lot of them and they're hard to come by. So you have to kind of go down there. I know nothing about tractors. I mean, all I do is have them start it, get on my back and see if anything's leaking, see if anything's cracked or do all the functions work. And then you got to just kind of roll the dice and hope that this thing's mm-hmm. okay. So far so good.
Well, so you went down there, you liked it, you put down the deposit, and then it was like, all right, now we got to figure out how to bring this thing home.
Most of the time when you go to these tractor dealers, they have transportation kind of already figured out for their customers. This isn't really a used tractor dealer this is kind of like a mechanic guy and his son who had a dozen tractors that they've somehow come across, either trade-ins or whatever, and a bunch of farm implements, and they do work on it. So it wasn't...
Gotcha.
It wasn't like a full-service place like we went to...
Yeah, up in Emilia Romagna
stuff. Where it's just they just sell stuff all mm-hmm. day long. So I'm like, well, what about transport? And he's like, yeah, what about it? tell me when they're coming. I'm like, you don't know anyone? The problem that I found with this, which was really interesting, I thought this would not be a problem at all to get a tractor brought to us, only 120 kilometers away, 2 hours in the car, was that anyone local on his end or my end, it's too far in the sense that these local guys will bring – if you get a tractor from three towns over, I could find 10 people to bring it on a weekend day back to me. No problem.
No problem.
However, they don't want to go on to – it's too far for them, mostly because no one wants to go on to the autostrada. Because on the autostrada is where the most control of big
vehicles
is. No one's stopping a flatbed guy with a tractor on the back around here.
No, they're like, he's heading to work.
Yeah, like it's just, like, you see it so...
All the time.
So I'm sure when you go on the autostrada, there's more control and you probably have to have certain insurance. Uh-huh. And these guys, I'm sure it's not properly taken
care
of.
It's really that it's not worth their headache, too.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, okay, that I understand. So I try to call a professional logistics company.
So he's Googling all these.
Yeah, calling all of them around up there, more ones around here. The problem with them is that it's too short of a trip for them. if they want to take my tractor to the other, to the northern, you know, northern Italy.
Or across, or all the way to Rome.
Or, yeah, they're like 120 kilometers. All right, maybe let me get back. I had a hardest time trying to find someone to bring my tractor from 2 hours away.
Because then the big ones were like, well, basically, like, we'll charge you the minimum, and essentially, which was like $1,400 or something, right? One of them said.
Well, that was one of the big ones. That was an outlier.
Yeah, but still, I'm just saying. So
there was a couple of them who were like, yeah, it's going to be $1,400 because that's, mm-hmm. yeah. But it, all in all, I at the end, I found someone $500 to go 120 kilometers, which is not that far. And the funniest part about it.
Oh, my God.
They brought the biggest, longest truck. I told them the weight of this tractor. This tractor is not huge.
Oh, well, that weight, back up. So exactly. Each place you'd contact, you'd have to fill out the forms online.
I contact them, fill out a form online, and then when I hear nothing after a day or so, follow up with a phone call. I follow up, hi, yeah, I sent an email the other day, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Tell them the whole thing again, you know, I want to go from here to here, da da da. Okay, yeah. Well, why don't you send me an email with that information? It's like, dude, every single one of them.
I know. You're like, I did your online form that asked me all the details. What the hell? Where is that going? Where is that going?
Well, obviously, since I'm calling them, not to their terminal.
Exactly.
So you have to.
Exhausting.
It was a little bit exhausting.
Well, and you're like, tick tock. Like, how long is this tractor now going to sit there?
It took a week. 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah. 2 weeks, Friday.
Jesus.
Yeah. Because I went there on a Monday. So not quite 2 weeks.
Okay.
Missing the weekend. But yeah, so you have to just hound these people because no one calls you back or emails you back or anything. It's like no one gives me confirmation of anything. Like the day before the guy was going to come, I'm like calling him, when are you coming? At what time?
You know? Oh, yeah. The one guy was like, no, sorry, maybe next week. Like you thought he was – so you had to have a backup ready to go.
Anyway, this is hot transport talk. All I'm saying is that there's really no – it just strikes me as curious that I'm paying a service to do it and they don't really care. I understand. It's a – my – everything I do is more of a pain in the ass to people than actual – their work. If, like I said, if I want to take this crew across the country, I'm sure it'd be a lot easier to find transport.
Well, it means Jason, now that he's found this tractor, he's already been looking at this for a while, but his new obsession is he wants a dump truck.
All right. as a gift to myself for getting my driver's license 10 years late,
oh,
I think
wow,
I'm going to buy
really
myself, I'm buying myself a, not a dump. Well, yeah, it's a bedded truck that can dump.
That can dump.
But also you can put your tractor on it. You can go get rocks. You can go get manure. You can go get furniture. It's you see them all over, running around all over the place here. They can carry up to 1,500 kilos, which is perfect, which is fine.
Oh, this is
without a new light, without a different light, without getting your truck driver's license.
This is hot talk.
Wouldn't it be funny if I go from no license to like being able to drive
yes.
The trucks, anything over 3.5 tons. Are you with a Category B license allowed to drive vehicles over 3.5 tons? Yes or no?
No.
That is correct. Maximum weight for a Category B license, 3.5 tons. This is good stuff.
I'm like moving on. Speaking of really exciting topics, we just got a new weather station. It is not set up, but out here living in the countryside, I don't know. I don't know if it's the farming, if it's the sometimes the snow, if it's just being so far out here, the little microclimates. But we've had a little weather machine for what, since like probably 12 years
or so.
And I love it, but all the sensors have slowly died. We now know very little of what's actually accurate. So it was time to bite it and get a new one. So he's setting that up this week, but.
Oh yeah. And this one actually can go on. So I had a Rainwise, which was very, not, old school technology. It was like a radio signal sent from to a little display, and the display I liked 'cause it was just, like
Analog.
No, well, it was digital display. It wasn't analog. But it had the old school, like the...
the way the numbers were digital.
Yeah. It just looked good. And you could see it from across a room. You could just look and see the temperature and all that stuff. But like Ashley said, everything died and it was it's time for a new one. So we went with Davis Instruments. This is more...
That's what I said.
This is the boringest...
We're going to get into the animal blessing, which was fun.
All right. Anyway, we're going to get that up. And now we'll be... I'll have it online. So I don't know if Ashley will put a widget on our...
Yeah.
Site or how it'll work, but you'll be able to see live weather here. Woo!
Whoa, you guys, this is getting pretty exciting out here. Jason's gonna become a registered weather station.
Registered sex offender.
You can't even say that on these podcasts.
I don't know. The fact that you said registered, that's the only kind of people that I know that register.
All right. Let's talk about fun stuff now that we got some of the technical, logistical stuff. So if you follow us on Instagram, or Facebook, you will see that we went and took the animals to the blessing of Saint Antonio or Saint Anthony de Abate. And there seems to be a lot of hot debate, a lot of hot topics on this podcast. Isn't it Saint Francis of Assisi? Like, are you getting your animal priest, pre-patron saints all mixed up? And it was like, no, I don't know. We went to it. It was in the
priest was there.
Yeah. And then thankfully someone else who is Italian, in the area, she backed me up. She posted a whole thing about it too. So, everyone knows, well, not everyone, but most people are familiar with Saint, Francis of Assisi, and is thought to be the patron saint of animals, but so is Antonio de Abate. And they would say he is also the patron saint of animals, both domestic and ones from the stable, as well as for the farmers. And crazily enough, he's also the patron saint of basket weavers and grave diggers. And is believed to protect against skin diseases and shingles.
Hold on. Is it really basket weavers and grave diggers?
That's what this says.
That's like comedy.
I think so too. It's like special skills, and all of his special skills, he's the patron saint of. So it's kind of funny when you look into these, like some of the extra details. Anyway, we took the animals. It was Rosanna Gaggi's wife sent us a message saying, go on Sunday. They're doing the blessing at the little piazza by St. Anthony's Church. And so we bring the dogs, of course, Leroy in his fancy pony coat. And I swear to God, when we got into the piazza, it felt like all eyes turned on it. Look at that gorgeous beast walking in. And this year there was two horses and then just all dogs. Other years, and when our neighbor had gone with their dog, Zoom, it would be sometimes the horses, sometimes livestock like sheep. Sometimes it would be someone would bring a cow, hawks, like, you know, because they'll train falcons. They'll do like trained falcons and they'll come. So they do a little blessing of the animals and the priest comes around.
I know. I was hoping there was a donkey or two.
I know. I was kind of disappointed by just the two horses, but they did put like flower crowns on the horses, which was kind of cool. And so the priest comes around with his little wand of holy water.
It's a salt and pepper shaker.
Jason was like, what's with the salt and pepper shaker? Like, it's holy water. And so he comes and does the little blessing of the dogs. And then they had these little doggy bags, literally for the dogs to take, which had a little, like, little bread roll in it. And I thought it was to represent the Eucharist, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, oh, yeah, look, body of Christ. And here's some bread for the dogs. But supposedly, also St. Anthony, another one of his patron saint skills is a fire, which then someone was equating to then bread makers. And so then they were thinking, I was like, how many of these patron saints does this guy hold? Like,
sounds pretty genuine then.
I know. I was like, I don't know. I'm still going with the bread's the Eucharist, but supposedly he's tied in with bread somehow too. So it was really fun though to walk around, and the priest
at the end made a beat once he like
did the horses first.
He went around, you know, he made a beeline for Leroy and gave him so many drops of holy water. He got more drops than anyone else.
I know. You said Maggie just got his seconds, like the drippings off of him. The puppy.
We walked into the piazza and there's, I don't know, 50, 80 people sure. with dogs and different. The whole piazza turned and looked at us. And Leroy senses this and
proud boy,
proud doggy. I love my dog. He's so gorgeous. I can't believe we have such a good looking dog.
It was fun. It was nice to hilariously. And then afterwards, people keep coming up to us. Can I take a picture with your dog? So that was a good time. I like that small town stuff. The priest, when he came over, mentioned how he grew up with a Great Dane or someone who he lived next to had one. And
everyone's got a story when they come mm-hmm. up. Yep.
It was sweet.
So we'll have to take. So next year, should we get more adventurous and take other animals? Take
you wanted chicken? To take the pigs.
I want to take the pigs. Good oh, speaking God. Of the pigs, next Saturday, a week from today. No, a week from. No, today's Monday. Hello. On Saturday, 5 days.
Today you've got to write your list. Of
the,
like...
It will be the day the pigs die. Actually, one of them. We can't do both at the same time. Too much work. So
we have to figure out how to like hide the one from the other so he doesn't see.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard.
So I talked to our neighbor who does a bunch of pigs.
Well, a bunch. Six. Like small Sorry. Scale family yeah. style.
He did six, but just over the holiday break. So he has... everything you need. So I was not really aware.
He is, by the way, not a butcher, no. not a full-time farmer. No. This is just as a side note, like yeah. people just do this.
Yeah,
they raise
absolutely.
Some pigs.
You raise some pigs and slaughter them at home. So I wasn't exactly really clear on the procedure of how this was going to go down.
We've been part of slaughtering pigs multiple times. With our car buddies, Carlo
but they're
and Gisha.
Already dead.
Exactly,
they're already ready. They look like meat. Mm-hmm. This is taking it.
You
from,
meet them in the locker.
Yeah,
not
you, meet them in, you meet them in the locker, not in the field. So this is our first time. Plus, you know, I don't want to take them to. You can call the slaughterhouse, and they'll come and pick them up and drive them out there. But they keep them in. We've talked about this. They keep them in the trucks. Can be half a day or all day as they pick up more and more animals. It freaks them out.
Tons of stress.
I'd rather just do it. Maybe this will be the wrong choice. Maybe that
once you do this,
once I do this, it'll be like, oh, if we get animals like that, they're
call the guy.
Call the guy because I'm not doing this anymore. But we got a Walter gave me a big giant pot. We fill it with water. So first. You have to – I will see if this is true. He said you throw a rope around all four legs and everyone holds a leg so they don't freak out. But I can go right up to them and like scratch their ears and stuff. So I wonder how – if we do need to tie them up. Anyway, we need four people.
Mm-hmm. And then dudes.
Four dudes, yeah. who preferably know what's coming along because I have no idea. I have no idea how this is going to go down. He even asked me, have you ever done anything like this? I go, no. He goes – okay, it's impression. He said it's impressionable. That's the exact. It's an impressionante.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a really good way to put it.
So you need four guys.
He's a man of little words.
And then once it's done, and then you pull it up with either a block.
Hoist?
Yeah, block and tackle, like the little things, or you can use a tractor to. Host them up, and then you have to wash them in boiling water. So this is the part I didn't know about because, hello, of course, you're going to open them up and the skin's all full of mud and pig shit and it's an animal just walking around. So you have to disinfect the animal. So I thought I had a people cooking pot.
Yeah.
This is a small family cooking pot. Like you can cook a small family of four in this pot. It's gigantic. I hope my thing can hold the weight.
That's what I was curious about.
I think what I'm going to do is put, I hope my little stove, yeah, I'll put bricks to help support the weight because this is going to be a ton of water. 3 hours before we slaughter them, I have to fill this pot up and get it going and get it up to the boil. We'll do it outside with a little barbecue propane tank, and I got a candy stove.
And where are you doing it? How do you keep the pigs away from that?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
I know.
I gotta figure all this out.
It's a lot to figure out.
And then you dip them in the pot, and then he has these, and then you like pour water over the boiling water over the pig and let it run down, like literally bathing it.
I was like, how do you fit the pig in the pot?
You don't fit the pig in the pot. You fit the pig. You get the cups. He has these big pitchers, old school, like with the chips of, you know, off of them, with these pitchers, and you pour it over and you scrub it down, you know, with nylon brushes and stuff.
Add it to the list.
And then you get another propane tank with a torch and you burn all the hair off. And then from there you open it up and disembowel it. And then from there it's...
Then from there, there's still a lot of logistics. What do you do with all that guts?
Yeah, then I have to figure out how to dispose of, I have to figure out how to dispose of the entrails, because if I just leave them around, my dogs will find them, and they can't eat that kind of stuff. So I probably have to take those to the slaughterhouse, which thankfully is in Urbana, and they probably, I don't know if they'll take them, or I have no
idea. Will you take my guts?
Or I have to run them up, like run them down up a logging road and leave them somewhere like that.
Oh my God.
No idea what to do. I should ask him what
do I do.
Do
you bury him?
Or you have to bury him. Uh-huh. Maybe that's what you do.
Is it like a placenta?
No.
Where it's good for the ground?
Oh. I don't know. Maybe. And then from there, we splay it and let it drip for 8 hours or so. So that's why we do it in the winter when it's cold outside. And
then this thing's just dripping out in front of its brother?
I guess. I don't know. He did say that we have to separate the other one from where we are. Like, they can't watch. And then we have to do the other one within a week because they get depressed.
Oh, my God.
It's a thing. This is a big deal. I'm not looking for... We should have done this over the break as well. Over the holiday break. I'm not looking forward to this. I liked raising the pigs. This is not the part that's going to be enjoyable.
I know. I could tell from some of the feet dragging in a way of like... Oh, I mean, we could do it in March, you said the other day. I was like...
So this first one, we'll take all the good bits. We'll take the two prosciuttos. We'll take the lonzos, the capicolos. We'll take the cheeks up to aquapartita, and they'll put them under...
A.K.A. the hunter side away.
The hunter side away, and they'll put them under the salt, and they'll cure them for us because we don't have the space. And then with the two shoulders, I'll make a little bit of sausage. I don't think that it's not... It's two shoulders is not a lot.
Where's that going to cure?
No, it's going to be for eating.
Oh,
we'll
fresh.
Freeze it. And then really you just have the pork chops and...
What about my ham?
Well, you're giving the two legs to aquapartita.
So for the other pig, I get a ham?
I don't think we're going to do the whole leg as a ham. We'll probably take the culatello. We'll probably take one of the muscle groups and make ham out of it. And then,
somebody.
So it's not a ton. It's going to be a lot of fat. You have the two bellies. I want to make.
I know my sister kept saying, what are you doing with your fat?
Oh, well, the fat. I think what we'll do with all the fat is we'll render it down and put it in jars with pretty labels. And we'll give that away as gifts. I mean, there's going to be a lot of fat. That's what these pigs are known for, mm-hmm. is their lard. We'll also cut the lard off the top of the back. And
is that called fat back?
Fat back. It's called bread back, honey, and it's coming for you.
No one says that. Wait, what is fat back?
I guess that. I would imagine the fat from the back of the pig.
Okay.
So
is that a thing?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
We'll make the lardo colonnata in the marble box again, where you take the lard and you put it under spices and salt and put it into a marble box and leave it for a year.
It is so good.
I threw away half of it the last time I made it.
But I was always begging you to use it. I loved it.
I put too much cinnamon in. It was too cinnamony and
clove. Maybe that's why I love the clove.
I didn't. I thought it was too, like, holidays. Mm. It was like eating. Thanksgiving lard.
Yum. I would make that into a candle. You guys, I'm full of merch ideas.
So that's coming up this Saturday. There's a lot to do. I need a bunch of... I have to clean up down there. I have to get bins because we need bins for guts. We need bins for...
Today's Monday and this is happening Saturday. There's I got a ton.
Yeah, I should not be sitting on my ass talking into this microphone.
That's why this is hilarious. Exactly.
No, I should be studying, actually. Mm-hmm. We're 48 hours from a test that I'm, you know, 50-50 confident in.
And then the other day as we were in the late afternoon, around 4, we get a phone call and it's a nice day. It's been really cold again, back to cold nights and then warmish days and or really mild, I should say. And we get a call from Rosanna, Gaji's wife, and she's like, we just got up to Cavernardo, their house. She's like, it's freezing. I'm just gonna bring some things over. You don't have to pull anything out, but it's just so cold. Let's do dinner at your house. And it was like, we had no dinner plans or anything. It was like, yeah, great. No problem. Come on over. But it was one of those days where you're finally actually doing work outside and Jason's coming back from the dogs with a walk with a list of stuff to do and like futz with the new tractor and all of this. And I'm yelling and I'm going, come on back up to the house because Gaji and Rosanna are heading over. And it was classic. She brings over smoked salmon and she knows we like that. So she wants to do like, she says we're on a diet. So she brings over smoked salmon and fennel and wants to just have chunks of fennel, like big fat chunks of fennel. And then you put your own salt and olive oil on it. Toast with butter
and smoked salmon.
And smoked salmon, great. And then she brought Gaji over these like freezer burned,
still frozen.
Yeah, and still frozen chicken. What would you call it? Like little
cutlets.
Thank you. And is like running them under the cold water to defrost them. And she goes, he doesn't like smoked salmon. He gets to eat this. And Jason thought it was some sort of punishment because
I was like, I was watching this go down, and because I walked in and she was like running it under, and the pan was on, and she's putting them in the pan, and it just looked like this is food for someone who's out of the hospital or like what is going on with these two dry chicken pieces of chicken in a pan with nothing, and I don't know what was going on. She also told us that he can't eat sweets anything
sweet.
She
pulled me aside later and was like, don't tell him I told you this, but no more sweets. Don't offer him any sweets. She goes, you can have sweets in your house, which I love the – she goes, when he's not around, I eat them all the time. But she just, he can't. So don't offer them to him. And it was like, Gachi's got a sweet tooth.
But no one comes out and says anything about anything. It's all very –
we'll just leave it at that.
We'll just leave it at – exactly. Uh-huh. It's like, all right. Whatever, fine. We don't ask questions. No more sweets, Gaji. He did put Sambuca in his coffee, though, which is nothing but sugar.
Absolutely.
It's like just, it's literally simple syrup with some anise flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe that's part. Maybe.
And then you and Rosanna hit the cookie tin hard.
Well, she keeps, we got all this leftover crap still from Christmas. She goes, I still have 2 panettone at home. I go, don't bring them here.
Exactly.
Stop it.
I know. He'll show up with it in
March. He will show up
with
it. Yes, he will.
I know.
Still tastes good.
Uh-huh.
So that's what's going around here. We have now sunny days. Like we have this high pressure system here now. So it's frozen mornings. Like everything's frozen for the outdoor bathroom and outdoor kitchen out there. All the water's frozen. And then by 10 o'clock, it's gorgeous, sunny, like spring-like conditions. So it's kind of weird right now. So we just have to get on it once the thaw of the morning happens.
Get on it.
It's time to get... I want to have a productive... All right. Hands in the middle. I want a productive February. We're getting off our asses and we're not going to sit on it and just do nothing.
No, we're not. And you've got a lot of stucco work downstairs because the puppy keeps trying to eat the stucco.
In these old houses, there's just moisture that gets into the stonework, and it makes the stucco bubble up from the wall. It's just part of...
Some spots, you've, like, totally resolved it, and they, like... We used to have problems in the back up here, in the back of the dining room.
We are also in here now, and there's more warm air
that comes
in here. So,
but like by doors.
Yeah, you'll see it'll bubble up and crack and kind of start peeling off. It's that and black mold. Those are the two things that
freak people out.
freak people out when they walk through older houses. It's like, nope, everyone has mold. There's commercials about how to get commercials for products to help you with the mold. It just happens.
Oh, yeah. Like, we had it. We've talked about this before, but, like, at certain times in different spots, and then you clean it well, and you get this good, like, special paint, and it's fine.
Anyway.
But the dog keeps eating the spot by the door.
She's eating the good paint.
She's eating the stucco. She's so stupid. Someone's going to message us after this and go,
that's very, just to let you know, that's really toxic.
I know. We know it is. Or that it can't be good. Also, both dogs have loved to lick the arches in the middle of winter for some reason. Yeah, and Gaji told us that it has to do with, like,
there's salts.
Salts are minerals that are in the stone. Uh-huh.
And they like to lick them. I don't know.
But it just makes your dogs look real dumb.
I know. You're coming in and dogs licking the wall.
Just like it's a Willy Wonka or something.
All right. Anything to plug? Or was this just
This was just a little
podcast of nothingness.
Just a podcast of fun stuff, guys.
Podcast of fun. Woo.
Thanks for listening. You know where to find us. Oh, I've been putting some videos, some little shorts up on YouTube if you're not one to follow Instagram and Facebook and stuff. So if you like little shorts, I'm putting a bunch of them up on there now too. And you know where to find us, Latavola Marche, LATAVOLAMARCHE. And,
I think we'll be back here in probably a week or two to let you
know. Yeah, we'll have to give you guys an update on everything.
How everything went. How mm-hmm. So, all right.
All right. Have a good one. Ciao, ciao.